Oh, one cent 15.
Come on, Bill, go!
Well, they sent these, the new billing person at the chamber requested these to figure out where they came from. So I got this email to me, but it doesn't look as bleak as I thought it would.
So who is doing?
Basically. Who, Bob? Okay, so Bob called from 400 miles off of the English coast today to say, I just noticed you guys added an executive session. He said, I'm on an ocean liner right now.
Can I call in?
Yes, he does. I have his number. He said, now, if you need me, it'll be in the middle of the night, but if you need me, here's my number.
We're calling him. We need him.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
You better believe it.
So classic. Yeah, and I said, I think you're the first one that, I mean, it wasn't even 5 minutes, so.
Wow.
He was connected in an ocean liner in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, so, classic. Okay, so.
Okay, I guess we can get started then, so I'm just gonna turn it straight over to Liz.
Okay. What I wanted to do was to update all of you, and I'm gonna pass around a couple of handouts. Talk through some property. And I'm sending in another one. Last October, Carl Kilmer had presented on behalf of the Fire Station Group called Firehouse LLC, who owns the fire station number one there's on Davis Street, as you all know, a proposal to look at doing potentially a swap of properties. And he and Phil Schmidt owned the property together, and they had initially got interested in this when, and that's what I want to step through the color map with you, but I've got a visual on what we're talking about with the historic photo. The architect for the project, Anthony Jacobson, had come and presented with Carl at that particular meeting in October. At that meeting, you all directed staff to do some research on this old municipal garage. So looking at the satellite photo that I had passed around, what I asked Aaron to do for me is what we first presented to you was a simple swap between parcel 1 and parcel 2. And this had first become of interest because parcel 2 is necessary. It is owned by the fire station group, Phil Schmidt, we'll just say. And property number 1 is owned by the city of Casper. The DDA had first approached our two entities and said, could we possibly do a land swap between these two parking lots because number 2 is needed for the plaza project, David Street Station. Property number 1 is currently a parking lot that the city does own, and in the past we've used it for the former Iris movie theaters, and they leased it from us, so it's always been parking. So the initial proposal that had started a little, about a year ago, was to do a swap between the two of them. In the meantime, the city had also, as most were aware, we did own all the rest of that lot to this block to the south, that entire lot, which we'll be talking about at a future work session. Lot number 3 is the lot that I wanted to discuss this evening with you, and it is the photo of which embedded in the walls of the Plains Furniture Building are in fact the original structure of our municipal garage that currently co-shares a wall with what has been redeveloped by Phil Schmidt and Carl Kilmer into the structure immediately to the north there of lot number 3. You asked us in October of last year to go out and get a structural assessment done of that property. Would it be possible to physically separate Lot 3 with those historic garage doors from the rest of the Plains Furniture Building, which was encapsulated around it. Several of you did a tour when we went through the Plains buildings, as well as the Kalarks buildings and so forth, to actually see what we were talking about. We had a walking tour last fall. So we went out, had a structural assessment done, and that was commissioned through our engineering department. And the structural engineer said, yes, that can be done. There can be security put into place so that if demolition can allow it to be separated from the original building. And so, I mean, there's a cost with that, but it is something that Bill Schmidt and Carl Kilmer are aware of. But we will not want to jeopardize the historic fire station, so that would be something that they would have commissioned to be done. And it also allowed us to look and see if it's enough integrity there to attempt that. And again, the rest of the Plains Furniture Building has always been one that has kind of been tossed around for potential demolition in order to look at some additional public parking for this area. Because should we separate this, again, you're gonna have one end of that building wide open, as you all would know. So, interest again with Bill Schmidt on this one. And the possibility then became, could we in fact swap Lot 3 for Lot 2 to facilitate the plaza development? And then Bill Schmidt would lease parking spaces for his business from Lot 1. So we've gone from a simple swap from 1 to 2, to a swap from 2 to 3, with the fact that Bill Schmidt and Carl Kilmer would lease parking, because they're losing all the parking that their employees use in Lot 2. They'd be losing all of that, because the plaza would be built over that. So they would want to lease parking from Lot 1 in this particular diagram. We also, besides doing the structural assessment, were tasked with looking at any asbestos that might possibly be in the Plains Furniture Building. Again, a property that was built in the 60s, separate from this particular property with the municipal garage, which was built in the 20s. So we contracted with another group to do a assessment of the actual asbestos within the entire Plains Furniture Building. We have asbestos in the Plains Furniture Building, in the ceiling tile, the floor tile, the pipe insulation, and the roof tar. So, the building does have asbestos, and it is also, though, in such a state that it is able to be disposed of in the landfill. So that was discussed here, that we would be able to, you know, drywall, and it can be sent in with regular waste. And so this entire report, which would be necessary for EPA, is there. So with that asbestos component, our engineering department went out again then and looked solely at the asbestos within Lot 3. Okay? And what it would cost to abate that asbestos in that particular portion of the Plains Building. Because that is the one that would be potential for reuse. And again, Mr. Schmidt had wanted to utilize that for parking, also for clients, which would be designed and preserved with the historic overhead doors, and his thought being that his customers could pull in through David Street into this parking with diagonal parking within this original bay area that the fire trucks used to use for long ago. So the asbestos, again, was looked at just for Lot number 3. And truly, to get that abated out of that lot, we're looking at about $25,000. And that is in the ceiling and the pipe insulation. Again, the pipe insulation's, again, dealing with the building in the 20s. So, we had an appraisal done on Lot 3, along with all of this other work, and that's what I wanted to update all of you all with this evening. So, got a lot of numbers here, and some of you are writing them down. So,
Jesse, get it.
The appraisal on just Lot 3 came in at $68,000. You can You wanna write it on paper or write it on your color map? So 68,000 is lot three. Lot two and one, each were appraised separately less than a year ago, and they are each at 52,500. So, that's where we are. So, we've talked about the swap.
I'm sorry, the 68,000 is in its current condition, knowing that you have $25,000 of work to do.
Your Honor, yes.
To remove it, okay.
So its real value is 43,000. Thank you, just wanna make sure I'm.
No, you're tracking with the numbers.
Oh, it's the other way around then.
It's 68,000 minus the 25,000 to Mr. Lubin's account.
Yeah, I guess I said.
And again, this is an estimate on what this would come in on the ceiling tile and the pipe insulation that we had done by Asbestos and Technical Services. So they have given us a proposal what they think that would cost.
Go ahead. Oh, did you have your hand
up? I can wait. Yeah.
Chris and then Amanda.
Why is it our responsibility to abate the asbestos if they want to use it for parking?
It is absolutely not.
So that's just what it's going to cost, but that we wouldn't pay for that?
Correct. I was not proposing that.
Okay. And then, so if that piece of the building is removed, does the rest of the building just come down, or do we seal that up somehow?
That would probably be a direction we would discuss as a team. There would be some concern with the magnitude of that other property, the need potentially for some surface parking, that it probably would be wise to get it down so that it does have a basement. We would not want vagrants or our young people going into, there's been temptation to break into it already, so I would be concerned.
I mean, I'm all about tearing it down.
It does have a full basement under that portion of the plant.
And get us supposed to put that asbestos on.
Just bury it.
Amanda and Charlie.
Yes.
So just for clarification, this portion that's been refurbished, is this what Phil owns?
Yes. Phil and Carl with the CPA firm and then upstairs.
Right, is the architect. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're going to retain this part.
They would like to trade us for the parcel number two in your map.
Right, for this.
That they own for that.
Okay.
And that variance would be a cost that they would pay.
As well as the abatement costs.
That would.
Okay.
Are we done?
No, that was my question.
Unless you all want to do a different negotiation.
So the appraisal is basically saying that this historic structure is worth $15,000?
68,000.
43,000.
Well,
but
it's the same size as these lots that are valued at 52,000. So the value of the building then is $16,000.
Got the two overhead doors. You do have some of the original brick down the side.
Is it just me, or does that seem a little low?
That seems weird.
I mean, this is a historic building, brick building. It's worth more than that. I mean, I don't know anything about these things.
I think if we put asphalt there, it'd be worth more, maybe. Then we can swap it.
My guess is that building is encapsulated by a warehouse, so it doesn't have a lot of value right now.
Well, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm surprised. I thought it was going to be worth it.
I bet if it was exposed, it would be a different story.
That was addressed also in the appraisal because of the potential limited use, because we've not separated it out.
Because they would have to take care of that to expose it. Okay,
yes,
well.
Sir.
Yes.
Jesse.
So where exactly are we at with the process? Are we, do we need council's approval to pull the trigger on this, or?
We're at the point, Your Honor, of getting some direction from you, and that's why I wanted to have some discussion on this publicly, because, again, we started it in October, we've done our, gotten these reports back, and because of our interest too, and the entire Plains building, would need some direction too from you as to whether we'd wanna look at potential demolition for that. Go ahead, Charlie.
Question about the lease. So, this parking here that we currently own, that we would lease to them as part of this agreement, lot one, obviously that would be a prime place for plaza parking. Are they open to having it be available evenings and weekends to the public?
I would suspect they would be, and we could negotiate that, Your Honor. And they may, by the time they get into lot three, they may not need lot one.
Well, that was a surprise to me, because I thought that lot three was what they needed for the parking that was in lot two.
But Your Honor, for the time being, they would need to have a lease with us for a period of time.
While they're getting it done and all of that, sure. But we could make that a short-term lease maybe, okay.
Great legal counsel.
We don't wanna give them a 10-year lease, okay?
Chris.
Okay.
Okay, so I thought we were trading one for three.
No, two for three.
Well, we own two?
He owns two, we own three.
And we own one and three.
We own one and three.
We own one and three, a lease to one. So, if we get to use two then, and he gets to use one as a lease, this isn't an ownership transfer between one and two, correct?
Not any longer, if that is your direction.
And the only ownership would be we give this section of three for, I guess I don't know what gain to us.
The gain to us is to see the completion of the plaza project that you have invested in already.
Because so two is stopping that?
Because two
right.
has stopped it.
Well, two would be leased back to UDA.
Yes.
So it pays the project.
What did you say, Bill?
I'm sorry, I can't. Hold on.
Two needs to
my
be leased to the DDA.
Sorry, I'm not talking well.
That's fine.
Lot two, if we acquire it, will be leased back to DDA to finish their downtown project. That was the original vision before we discovered that we had part of the fire station building inside of the Plains building, which piqued interest of fire station to try to work a different deal than the original trade of lot two for lot one. Originally we registered lot two for lot one and leased lot two to the DDA. Now we're going to try to swap two for three and lease lot two to the DDA, is the concept.
Because essentially, once we owned the garage, their interest changed completely from the original swap, which we thought was going to be easy and no big deal.
Exactly.
All of a sudden they said, no, now that you own this other thing, we'd rather do this instead. And so that's what put all of this in, that's what slowed all of this down. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why they did that. It's gonna be beautiful when it's all done.
Yeah, it took time to get appraisals and structural engineering looked at, because we didn't even know if we could separate the buildings
right.
without causing damage to the party wall.
So
that was also, Your Honor, weighed into the appraisal too, is all that separation, so.
And we own one and three, and we are gonna get ownership of two if we swap for three.
Mm-hmm. And we'll give up our ownership of three.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the fire station will own lot three, and it will turn that into a parking garage and try to preserve the facade
for
the rest of the fire station.
I get that part, and one is still ours,
yes,
and
sir.
Nothing changes with that.
Right.
Short-term potential parking lease,
but then there's four to consider.
And there's what?
Four to consider.
Yeah, who's on first?
What she said.
But then we have a big gaping hole in the Plains building, that's.
So, that kind of goes to my question as far as, correct me if I'm wrong, my assumption is that if we proceed with this swapping, their intention would be to start working on this immediately to make the historic building whole, correct?
Correct.
Which means that we as a city would then have to deal with getting rid of this building because we don't want open asbestos exposed and flying around and whatever.
Correct.
So, do we have any estimates on what the demo is going to cost? She's choosing her words wisely.
Makes me nervous.
I know.
No, we have some estimates on the demo, but it's the asbestos abatement that we don't yet have on. Most of that would be able to be put into the landfill, and that's the part we don't have that entire cost on.
Because, again, we're not planning on keeping the building, right?
Your Honor, unless you all, that is not part of our staff recommendation to keep that. We have a staff recommendation for the other part of the Plains furniture, which you'll see in a separate presentation.
Okay.
Site, but not this one.
So not
this
building.
One was always kind of a recommendation for public parking.
That was my question. You guys did this a while ago. What was the intent? Did that be a parking lot?
At Charlie. Yeah,
and I guess if you guys don't know what was Liz's intent.
We'll let Charlie.
The proposal came to us with a very short time frame. We were basically told the city has first opportunity to purchase this property. If you don't say yes within, I think it was about 3 weeks, this will be open to other people. And so we were obviously had no time to really discuss what the long-range plan was. So, but the sentiment of council at that time was that this was a valuable piece of property for the city to have title.
But, Madam Mayor, and that would be based on the location for needed parking, I would assume. So, I mean, does anybody disagree it needs to be a parking lot?
Your Honor, one addition to what Charlie's saying. When this was purchased in that December, January of 2015, the Goodstein lot had always planned to be the site of the state office building. They've now discussed a campus environment. With the fact that we were looking at a large, almost 100,000 square foot footprint of a state office building on the Goodstein lot, this body knew that parking was going to be essential in this area. So we'd always, council kind of always thought that the Plains property offered at least some optional overflow parking, especially for the plaza project, which was underway. The plaza had committed to using the downtown parking structure in their plan for development. We also knew that there would be an opportunity with this Plains furniture half. Site. So, again, we don't know yet what the state is doing, ultimately with their building, but we are at a, kind of at a pivotal point right now that we have got some neat opportunities facing us, and I think this is one of them.
Amanda.
So the state purchased that area, but it's my understanding the state also owns that property that's, I guess, on Collins that goes out to Poplar?
Between Collins and Midwest is what they bought last November.
Right. So have they made any finalized plans as to which site is going to be used for the offices?
Your Honor, no.
Okay.
Not that we are aware of.
So when we do the swap, we'll make sure that it's equal numbers, equal for equal.
Let me address that briefly. It depends how we structure the deal. As an example,
The appraised value of lot three is a $68,000, but it has a deficit of a $25,000 asbestos removal. So I guess you'd call its true fair market value $43,000. And their building is $52,500. So if we trade, we'll have to make up the difference in boots, $9,500. Now, if we structure it where we take out the asbestos, and now it's worth $68,000, then they would pay us the difference back and would offset our $25,000. No matter how you work the equation, it comes out the same, you net the same amount. But there is a boot that has to be transferred. We have to equalize the values. Otherwise, we end up making a donation. In the goodness of their heart, if they wanted to, they could gift that boot back to the city, but that'd be their decision. But otherwise, we almost generally equalize the values, especially if it be the other way. We have to have them pay us the difference because otherwise we've made a donation.
Amanda.
My preference would be that they're responsible for the abatement only because there are always unforeseen things that come up from that, and I don't want to strap the city into being responsible for that should those unforeseen things happen.
Anybody else? Jesse?
All I have is it would be great to try to make that up maybe with the lease agreement or something along those lines. I don't know how the lease is going to work out, but that could be a potential. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I'm ready to
thumb it.
That's a good question, though. What do you consider the lease to be worth?
Well,
how many years would it take to get $9,500?
Well, you can't really, you really need, I'm sorry, but Madam Mayor, you have to base the lease based upon market rate for the square footage of it in order to keep apples to apples compared.
And so my question is, at market rate,
how long
would we lease it to make up the difference?
Okay, that's a way to approach it. I don't know. It depends what the market rate for square foot is.
Staff would like direction to pursue this negotiation, and then we would bring those terms back to you. And we're ready to get into the weeds on this.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get lot two
and
squared away. That's critical.
The interested parties are ready to move also.
Yeah. Okay.
They've been in contact.
Yeah. We can't.
So the question on the table is: do we want to make a thumbs up so that staff explores the option of swapping two for three? Correct?
Yes, sir.
Simple. Thank you.
Okay.
I finally got it.
Very much.
Everybody's getting thumbs. We're good.
And, Your Honor, we would also research, along with that, the cost of the demolition and asbestos containment for the rest of the Plains furniture.
I think we need to know those numbers, whether
absolutely.
We do it now or later. You know.
No, it's timely because we've got all these.
Is that something that you could put the numbers of cost of doing it all at one time versus later? Thank you.
Absolutely. And we have a cost of sealing up the building or carrying it down at the same time. So
that's the other
that's
number.
That's a factor, I think. Mm-hmm. Actually, it goes into the valuation of lot three.
I think it did.
I just see sealing up that building, we would be the prime offenders of urban blight. That's not even an option in my mind. Maybe we could get some nice blue tarps and hang them up on the side.
Okay. Do you need anything else from us?
No.
Nope.
We're ready to rock and roll.
All right. City manager report. It's all you tonight.
No, it's getting you all here shortly. Okay, so and the next thing I wanted to pass out is our sales tax report for month of April. And I know that Amanda, you had asked Council on the Huckabay.
This is someone we already have.
I think
and that's only because
okay.
It came to me from the chamber, and I was very confused.
Someone makes, yeah. Renee was an overachiever and got this all out to you. So I want to make sure that you've gotten this as far as our sales tax. Krista, or pardon me, Lynn typically sends this out to us, and I just thought the detail appropriate. We were talking about this morning in department head meeting. And just for my edification, you all do typically see this report. Okay, it's out to you. Okay. The other item, as of Thursday of this week, we will have the draft budgets produced. They are at the printer. What we would like to do is to curry them around to you, unless you're planning to swing up to City Hall and pick it up yourself. But in the past, we have couriers that run this, and it's typically probably our Parks team. Was it Parks?
Leisure Services.
Leisure Services that would be able to be out on the job and get these to your places of business or to your homes. And so I said I wanted some direction from you so we can make sure you get all these, and this is just standard procedure.
Madam Mayor,
mm-hmm.
I've actually been part of the courier team back in my younger days, mm-hmm. and I will absolutely come here and pick that up.
Okay,
I'm not gonna have city staff waste their time coming to my house with a packet.
They could do work as they drove that way. We would like to see your face at City Hall. So.
I'll be here.
Okay.
What day are we talking about again?
We're looking late Thursday, you think?
We're going to get him back from, I think Friday is when he went.
Probably Friday morning, though.
Yes, because
Friday
we wanted
morning.
To review him when we got him.
Make sure that the pages
sure.
are all
yeah.
running the same way.
Yeah,
so Friday morning.
I can come down.
So we can
okay.
get it from your manager.
No, we cannot. At this point. Okay. Powell will swing
too.
Up. Checo will swing up.
I will come down Friday afternoon.
I'll come down too. I'll be on my motorcycle, so I'll go anywhere.
What if it's a box?
With me.
Unless it's.
I thought Jessica was going to be the one with, like, I want it brought to me.
Okay. Oh. Yes. Can you swing by after the radio? Here. I think it's a radio. 7:30 a.m. We will be waiting for you. Okay, that is perfect. Your Honor, I think those were my 2 points. This
So we really don't have much actually to do.
I should do that.
The agenda.
Police are going to preschool. So. That would have been, if they could meet me there, that'd be perfect.
Agenda review now. Okay, so let's swing through the agenda review for the 16th. Some of you are talking about this, a few items on the bus today. So we've got the ordinance change proposed for the dispensing rooms as it relates to our new state alcohol policy as of July 1st. And you all have given us some preliminary, established the public hearing date a couple weeks ago for this discussion on dispensing rooms. So that will be a public hearing. We also have for public hearing what you were talking about, which is the Frontier Brewing Company and the old Wolford Shoe Building. So that one's coming forward. You also have the public hearing date for the former Botticelli's, which is now called the Downtown Bar and Grill, also coming forward for that. Staff has not heard any complaints about any of those liquor licenses. It will, one point of note though is on Frontier Brewing, which is the one in the Wolfords building. Initially they were going to apply at the same time for a restaurant liquor license in conjunction with the microbrewery. They have since retracted their request for the restaurant liquor license, so a point of order will be for you all to cancel that portion of the public hearing. You'll still hear it for the microbrewery portion. We have third readings on two of the old Yellowstone District form-based code changes. Third reading also on the former Poor Boys restaurant, which is the C85 edition. First reading ordinance, which is what our city attorney has discussed with you, which is the holiday adjustment for council meeting dates, primarily moving our Tuesday, July 4th meeting to Wednesday, July 5th. Then, under resolution, as of consent on these now, the collective bargaining agreement between the city and the firefighters' local union will be up for approval by resolution. We also have the release of some local assessment district liens. And we have the amendment, this is one I brought forward, on the Goodstein lot, which we were just talking about, which we use for public parking. A year ago with the state of Wyoming, we did enter into a dollar a year lease agreement, and that is what we've used for public event parking, for track meets and troopers events, for parking of Science Zone. We have parking there for our parades. So the state of Wyoming, since they don't readily have plans for the redevelopment of putting a huge office building on that site, has agreed to let us lease it again if you so elect. And that is up for your discussion and consideration for $2 for the next year. I know, it went up a buck. So
it went up 100%.
Yeah, we may have to take up a collection on that, should you all approve that. So again, that lot's gotten a lot of use, and it is one that is on our list for event parking for the Eclipse, which you'll see and hear later. Okay, so that one's on there. We have a cooperative agreement with the YDOT and the Bryan Stock Trail River Bridge project. We are getting into, and some of you that are familiar with the wastewater treatment facility project, we are finally to the point of getting into the generator project with that, and that is a $2 million project, which will be also up for a resolution on consent. We are looking at purchasing wear plates on our infamous city baler for $66,000. That will be for 50 of these wear plates that go onto the baler parts. We've got the South Spruce Street reconstruction project that starts budgeted for one of our infrastructure projects from CY north on Spruce to Collins. And then we have the portable litter fencing project also out of the landfill, which is planned for also this year. And then we have Rotary Park Pathway Project from on Casper Mountain Road, if you will, from the college up. Pardon me, I don't know if it's from the, I think it's Wyoming Boulevard up. I think we're good.
It ends at Garden Creek.
Right, up to where we
thought it was the Wyoming Boulevard section.
It is from the pedestrian pathway, Casper Mountain Road, south from Wyoming Boulevard towards exactly to where we turn off for Garden Creek. So I couldn't remember if it was Wyoming Boulevard or if we were south to the college, but it's Wyoming Boulevard up. And that project, again, is for the engineering and project oversight by WLC. Again, that project starting anytime. And then we have another project with the pedestrian pathways to, and this one was interesting. We talked a little bit about this, I believe in leadership. We are doing some pathway replacement from Crossroads Park up towards the event center. We've got a pathway that's gonna be added around Mike Cedar Park to connect the shelter and the play equipment. And then Long Park over by East Ridge Mall area is also going to have some replacement work done. So a lot of our little pathways and parkways and so forth, it's just routine maintenance, so we're getting that in. And that work will be for $143,000 this summer. So that is, again, on the docket in the budget to do some concrete work on those well-used pathways. Also under minute action comes up the receipt of the budget that we were just talking about. So you all will acknowledge receipt that you did have it, and then we'll get into the budget presentations later this month. We are rejecting some bids on some front-end loaders that were for the solid waste division, and we'll be looking at going back out. You have gotten a sole source request, I believe, emailed to you earlier this week relating to that project. This is part one, which is to reject the previous bids. Then under consent, we've got some 4x4 pickups that are necessary for the cemetery section of the public services department. We have some Lufkin van trailers that are gonna be used by solid waste to store the electronic waste that we have. We also have a couple more 4x4 trucks, or one more, pardon me, used by the streets division for doing all the street work that we see. And these are all worn vehicles at this point. So we need new replacements. You'll read that in the memos. And then we have a small accounts receivable balance that we need to authorize the discharge of, just to keep our books clean, and that would have been from the year 2012. So those are the items.
Charlie.
Could you talk a little bit about the firefighter contract, Liz? Were there any significant changes? How did the negotiations go?
Your Honor, I'm going to default to my partner, Ms. Tracy Belzer, because she was in those negotiations with VH. I was not.
So the biggest change is just to change the disability leave so that it coincides with the preemptive bill that just got passed the legislature, so that if it was for one of those conditions that the firefighters could use all of their leave, paid leave. So it's relating to all of that, so it's all specified in there for them to be able to. That's the biggest thing. The majority of the other things were just typical word changes. Cleanup, and I guess not word changes, that's pretty open, but you know, just like if there's an extra two in there, you know, just there's always cleanup, so people are there, so that's the biggest thing.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, any significant changes in compensation?
Yeah, there is nothing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, ready to go around the table?
Sure.
Chris?
Pretty simple week for me. It has not been a simple week for you. Appreciate the leadership you've shown.
I'll echo that. Suicide Prevention Task Force met today. I was not there, but I did get the minutes. There is a suicide prevention conference scheduled the 27th and 28th of September, and the annual suicide prevention walk is September 23rd. So, and they have the number of youth that have received suicide prevention presentations in the schools is 854. That's all done by volunteers. So there's a lot of good work being done. And they do good outcome measures on these things, too, to make sure the kids get what they're being told. And we have anecdotal data that they're remembering these things later on and talking to each other about the importance of getting help when you need help. So it's a good working group. One of the many groups that just sort of works behind the scenes without a lot of fanfare, doing important things. And the the suicide, zero suicide clinic training is actually a day after tomorrow, and the 12th. So
that's
a nationwide program where companies will essentially agree to be part of a training with the goal of zero suicides among in their workforce. And so there's all kinds of there's a group of large corporations that have signed on to this project. And so I'm not sure where that training is. I should know that, but I don't. But
I think it's at one of the hotels.
Yeah, I just missed the meeting, so I'm sure if somebody wanted to go, we could find it. But this is a nationwide program to really try to address this problem in the workplace. So that's it for me. DDA tomorrow.
I agree with Chris. Thank you for doing your due diligence and really spending some time to get to the bottom of that and doing the tough work that required. I think we all appreciate it. I will be gone next week. I have to be in Cheyenne for work. I've gotten bukus of calls regarding municipal code 10-36-20-3, which has to do with parking on the parkways. And I have been alerted that a large group will be here Tuesday to speak to that issue. And like I said, I encouraged Chad to come with song. I attended the senior fair last week, and they had a really good turnout for that and lots of participants. I've had a lot of questions as to whether or not CY is going to be done by the time of the eclipse.
A year.
I know, they've even got to post it on signs that it's not till next year.
Or at least not extremely rutted. Or, I'm not a street person, but the missing pavement.
It's not my forte.
Additionally, I was nominated by the Eclipse people that the no parking plan that had been submitted to them by Mr. Wetzel for no parking for the Eclipse that extended from the neck to past, I think it's past Spruce Street and up into the residential areas of up to 4th behind the neck, I think, is, I don't know if you've seen that.
We're taking it in, so keep speaking.
So it extends up until about 4th Street behind the neck, and also because 2nd Street is closed, and extremely far the other way, and just people by emergency management standards are not feeling like that's reasonable, and asking if perhaps that can be modified and given back to Stu so that we can make our plans for first aid stations, etc. And I have a copy of it if you didn't get a copy of it.
Would you like that? Yes, please.
Okay. And that's all I have.
I have one thing I forgot. A call about motorcycle noise. I think we have to talk about motorcycle noise.
Oh yeah, I've gotten that too.
So
my only thought is that was their parade, so
it was.
Maybe that just, I mean, it'll still be a problem, but in all fairness, it was their parade, so I'm not surprised.
I'm just saying, you know, we just better pay attention.
Yeah, I'm putting Chris in charge of it this time.
Parking on the parkways and motorcycle noise are familiar.
Okay, you're good? Jesse?
I was going to bring that up. So is that something that's actually enforceable? Or how does that even work?
It's this right here, 1036.
Do traffic police officers actually have it, sound dosimeter?
We went through this 2 years
ago. I have one at work. I'm going to do a Facebook Live this weekend. Just to see what my motorcycle is.
The last time we tried to regulate, I can pull paths here too. Last time we tried to do something to have that, we had about 350 motorcyclists that bombarded City Hall.
Uh-huh.
And so we've dealt with it. I know Chris probably, in his tenure, probably had to deal with it. And I know Paul was a part of that like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
But the good news is these guys want to be part of the solution. They don't want to see more enforcement, so we can partner with them and spread the word. You're still up for that?
Yeah, we've actually kind of included, I guess, in our little group, if you want to call it that, we've kind of partnered with some of the other clubs and groups in town to where it's not just all on Central Bay anymore. We've actually partnered with some of the other so-called outlaw groups, the wannabe outlaw groups, so that we're trying to kind of get a little more consolidation of all of the groups together to be involved and to have a little more skin in the game than just us, you know. And that's, they even helped with the parade this year. There was more cooperation with everybody on the parade this year than just us, so which was quite helpful. Yeah. So we're working on that. Matter of fact, I was just this week looking at trying to. We have those ads. PSA is made up, and I've got to track down a couple of people to get them, so you can get them on, start getting them on here.
Okay, let us know if you need something.
Well, one of the some of it there, she ended up going up, becoming a TV star on Jeopardy and all that stuff. So,
I bet she'll hook us up still.
I'm sure the city still had that.
It was enforceable.
Well, go ahead, Chris.
It's unrealistic to enforce.
Really?
You have to get the movement speed of the motorcycle a certain distance as it's going, or you have to make an estimate of that. You can stop them based on reasonable suspicion of it, pull them over, get a certain distance from the tailpipe, run the decimal meter. The problem is it is not practical as you're doing it. And the biggest problem, and I'm sure you still face it, is it's either, if you got a Harley, it seems like you got the group that wants to just rip the pipes and they're straight, and they're extremely loud, or it's the crotch rocket and it's somebody hot rodding up and down the street. You can't catch them. By the time you get the call that the motorcycle noise is bothering me, give a 5-minute response time, which would be pretty stellar based on that type of call. Where are they, in Glen Rock by now? I mean, potentially. So the practicality of enforcement is difficult unless we completely change the ordinance to something that would probably put us on shaky ground as far as legality. The issue's a problem. You can't apply the common sense standard of that is too loud.
Right.
I would love to see some type of fix put in place for the loud motorcycles and for diesel smoke that includes volume and the smoke. There's an ordinance for each of those things, and it says, well, it's easy to enforce. Try and catch a crotch rocket or any kind of motorcycle in a police car.
Right.
And these guys included smoke kind of in their PSAs too, so.
Yeah.
It's a hazard that it creates if they run on
them. Well, yeah, you don't get into a car chase with somebody on a motorcycle for noise, because who are you going to kill? Who are you willing to kill over a loud tailpipe?
Right.
It's rude. I know that Russ Riddick and I worked quite a bit, and a bunch of you.
Right.
I don't put the wannabe outlaws in quotes, so some of those, get to be exactly what they choose to be, but they were a big benefit. And it was a bait, and it was more than just a bait even then, I believe. As far as PSAs, also the state was involved in it, but one thing would be nice is, do you have decibel meters so if the opportunity comes up you can get them, because you had one in the past, and I think it was best 1970s electronics we could come up with.
The parts are, Douglas had it for
a So if you don't have it, maybe we can make sure that equipment is there where it's usable and something that could be applied.
It's unenforceable, then better to spend our money with these guys.
Take the hard part.
Excuse me. The problem with the with meters and stuff, where you're going to run into, that I've seen in some other towns, other parts of the state, and around, is that now you're having to take into consideration what your surroundings are. Are you in between two tall buildings? Are you out in an area? Are you getting echoes back? I mean, all of these things come into legalities where you get some, you get a sheriff attorney, they're going to beat most of that stuff anyways in one way or another. So I think that, the practical way is really just to try to keep moving forward on trying to get everybody on board that, the campaign that we're trying to start here is, one respect, show respect, that type of thing. And that's what we're trying to do with the smoking trucks that we have. We have a radio and TV ad for trucks. We have a radio and TV ad for motorcycle noise, so we're trying to hopefully get those out in the very near future and get them running. So, but I think that's where we have to go. It's a lot of things where it's an awareness and a self-policing thing. It's like, that's where it's going to get done. So, I think when you start coming in and trying to enforce it, there's just so many little things that can throw things off. It's tough to do.
It's too bad we have to try and regulate courtesy.
Regulate what?
Courtesy.
Oh, yeah.
We could just buy earmuffs for everyone.
Well, we had one guy who was blasting up and down right in front of City Hall here while we had the hearing, just to make a point. And so it's never going to go down to zero.
because we're gonna have folks like that, but
so you redline it? It's pointless. It almost sounds pointless. I mean, it's something that officers don't even have. It's in the ordinance. You try to go out to a call, you can't even get the person, they're long gone.
That's why I think Paul is right. Our best hope is education and to try to sensitize people to the fact that there's other people living on this planet besides you.
Fair enough.
End of your mouth.
Parking enforcement, I was gonna bring that up, but Amanda did, so we're good there. Repairs to the walkway that was over at our drive, did that ever occur? Do you know?
Your Honor, with the bridge over.
Bert James one?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did. They immediately went out there.
Outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have for now.
Not much. Gonna be doing a proclamation tomorrow at the tourism breakfast at the Ramcota at 7:30. So I'll do that. Mayor manager meeting on Thursday.
I kind of hit it home and had a crappy week, so hopefully it'll get better. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn into executive session for purposes of personnel.
So moved.
Second.
Point of order, don't we have to go into the executive session and adjourn the actual public meeting that we're in now, or no?
This is a work session.
Oh, okay.
And we put it on the agenda for you to go into executive session, so it just requires a motion, a second, and an affirmative vote by council.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right, we are officially in executive session.
Was that an opposed vote?
She really opposed it.
No, she said aye.
No. Well, I think she was just late.
She was so late.
We want to clarify.
Motion carries.
She said it twice. She said again when she said anyone opposed, she also said aye.
Okay.
We'll clarify.
You'll stay. We're talking.
We're doing the recording.
Thank you.